Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $100 at WynnBET and get a $100 free bet. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford. I am in Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England. Today is August the 17th, Wednesday. And me and my co-hosts are here to handicap a slightly truncated slate of MLB action for Thursday, August the 18th. Joining me. First up is the OG, the machine, Mr. Munaf Manji. Munaf, how are you doing?
Good. How's it going, Malcolm? Good to be back on the pod. A little bit of a rough day yesterday. Astros kind of cost me a good night, but ready to attack the Thursday games.
Excellent. And finally showing his face after disgracefully getting humped by myself for the second time this season in the D-Gens Fantasy League. It's taken him 72 hours to crawl out of his dungeon of disgrace. Noah, good evening. How are you?
I didn't get punked. It was a 6-4 loss, first off. And I was up 8-2 on Friday. So again, my team just kind of gave it away over the weekend to you. And you dressed up the score with a late Edmund steal. So it was 5-4 for most of Sunday. But no, I've been out for more than 72 hours. I've been probably down and out for like 5 days now. I have extremely bad allergies. I don't know like what goes on, but I'm almost allergic to everything. So I don't know, maybe it was Thursday or whatever. I woke up, I was out of meds, and I had to run to the urgent care. So I was down and out for a couple of days, but you know what? We're back and ready to give out a couple of plays here.
Yeah, you certainly seem allergic to winning in that fantasy league, Noah, so you ought to be, can't be too careful there. Here we are live on YouTube, Dryden. Has appeared possibly slightly illegally in the YouTube comments, so I can't answer your question, Dryden. David's in there as well. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us, and feel free to chirp up in the chat box. Okay, we will fire straight out into it then tomorrow. Quite a few. The games are spread out all day, actually. Some good times for watching. I've got the YouTube game on the big telly. I've managed to get it on the telly like all the kids do. So I'm watching the LA Angels getting smashed, their nightly thumping by the Seattle Mariners, which is 4-0, heading into the top of bottom of the third, which I think we probably all picked last night. George Kirby going for Seattle. And was it Jose Suarez going for the Angels? So yeah, I've got some live baseball to watch as we're recording, which is rare for me. Tomorrow starts 1:15 Eastern. The Colorado Rockies and the St. Louis Cardinals, which is Antonio Senzatella for Colorado. And Adam Wainwright will go for St. Louis. Now, I think there's 11 games on tomorrow. There's 7 on the board at the moment. So we'll have to try and keep you abreast of odds as we get them. So, yeah, a bit of a weird one. I don't know if it's the day games that have called people out or what. Do have lines for this one. The Rockies plus 179. Wainwright and the Cardinals are minus 195. Total here is set at 8. This one, no, I will let you lead off.
Hey, batting lead off from my return. This Colorado St. Louis series, I guess Last week, I handicapped all of the games in Coors correctly. So a little pat on my back there. But, I mean, this week the Rockies travel to Busch Stadium, and the Cardinals, they're just the clear better team away from Coors. The overs are 8-4 in the Rockies' last 12 games and 6-2 in the Cardinals' last 8. Going for Colorado is Antonio Senzatella. He's 3-6 with a 4.67 ERA, 52 strikeouts, 23 walks in 90.2 innings pitched this year. He has a 5.56 road ERA in 2022. And going for the Cardinals is Adam Wainwright. He's 8-8, 3.27 ERA on the year, 116 strikeouts, 39 walks, and 143.1 innings pitched at home. He's very comfortable with a 2.30 home ERA. Give me the Cardinals in every which way. Money line, run line, team total, I'll take it all, depending on where it comes out.
Yeah, well, I'll chip in there, Noah, on the back of that, because I handicapped that exactly the same. This is tonight's one of these shows where this is the third night in a row I've done the pod, and you get a series and you end up kind of repeating yourself. The Rays and the Yankees was one that I've repeatedly had to do this week, and you just get a feeling for the series. And although the pitch has changed, I'm in the same boat. I'm in exactly the same boat as you say, Noah, that it's St. Louis everywhere. What I wrote down was St. Louis on the run line at plus 100. I don't think St. Louis didn't cover the run line last night. I actually backed the over last night on that one. I think I locked up the over. Actually, the game finished 7-6, so we got there with plenty to spare. But yeah, I think St. Louis, I've mentioned my handicap a couple of times this week, is that they were taking advantage of the Brewers having a tricky series against the LA Dodgers. The Brewers actually picked a win up, which surprised me in that one. But St. Louis were taking advantage of their opportunity to stretch their legs a little bit and put some distance between themselves and the Brewers. And this is another great chance for them tomorrow. So I'll take St. Louis on the run line again, Munaf.
Yeah, Adam Wainwright just has great history against the Colorado Rockies. I know this goes all the way back to 2006. I mean, that's when I graduated high school. But he, before his last start last year, July 1st, he had 9 wins in a row against the Colorado Rockies over the course of his career. And, you know, I know the lineups and everything changed and things like that, but, you know, I guess he's just, you know, been dominant against his Colorado Rockies team over his career. 11-1 with a 1.48 ERA against the Colorado Rockies. And you talked about Antonio Senzatella. He hasn't faced the Cardinals this season yet, but over the course of his career, he's 2-3 with a 5.11 ERA. And I've talked about this a lot, that the AL Central, the two Central divisions are going to be, you know, teams at the top that we probably want to back, because, you know, they're battling for that, you know, division title. And I think this is a spot where the Cardinals just come out and just beat a lesser opponent. So give me the run line here as well with the Adam Wainwright on the mound. He's just been so good this season.
Well, a little subtle flex from Moon off there that he graduated from high school. Well done. the IT department's just walked in here, actually, but she's not needed so far tonight. I haven't had to go drag her out of bed like we did last night. So fingers crossed.
I'm just waiting for her to like just smack you live on air so people can see it.
Yeah,
she's still there. Can you ask her to do that?
No, I will not ask her to do that. She doesn't need any invitation. So
shout out to Lane Elliott in the chat. He wants to thank you guys. He's killing it this week, and he hit on that Miami San Diego under 7.5.
That was a sweat.
Yeah.
That was a sweat last night.
No, never in doubt, Moon. Good man, Lane. Keep it up. We hope we find some winners over the next 45 minutes or so here. We'll move along to a 2:05 Eastern first pitch. Not particularly inspiring lineup, this one. The Oakland Athletics at the Texas Rangers. Zach Logue. We'll go with Logue, left-handed pitcher. We'll go for Oakland. And Dane Dunning gets the start for Texas. We do have lines on this one as well. Oakland on the road are plus 149, Texas minus 173. Total here is at 8.5. Munaf, lead us off. Are you a Logie or are you a Logue?
I will go with Logue.
Okay.
For Zach Logue. 3-6 on the year, 5.49 ERA for him. Over his last five games has been absolutely trash. 1-4 with an 8.10 ERA. I mean, there's no better way to put it. 21 earned runs allowed in 23 and one-thirds innings pitched, guys. And he did face the Texas Rangers earlier this year where he got absolutely smashed by them. Two and a third inning, gave up four earned runs, seven hits, two of which were the long bomb. On the road this season, 1-3 with a 6.14 ERA. The A's have lost four of his last five games. They're giving up the runs to their opponents. So there's no better way to put it. You know, we talked about Dane Dunning, you know, going back to last season, Malcolm, as well. And this was a guy that's kind of been on our radar. But, you know, Dunning has been a guy, at least this season, a pitcher who we want to back at home, right? He's 2-1 with a 3.23 ERA on their home field versus on the road where he's winless with a 5.08 ERA. And I believe he did face the A's earlier this season. It wasn't a very pretty outing, but it was better than Zach Lowe. So he went 4 1/3 inning, did allow two earned runs and seven hits. And he's been in pretty good form, at least over the last two starts. The Rangers have won three straight starts for Dane Dunning, or when he has started for the Texas Rangers. And they're giving him the run support as well. So which kind of tells me is I like the Rangers team total in this game. If you get a 4.5, I would smash that. A potential play of the day for me, or lock of the day, but I'm going to be fading Zach Lowe here. And I know he's a left-handed pitcher. I kind of want to take a quick peek on how he's done, or how Texas, is doing against left-handed pitching. They're number 9 over the last 2 weeks in WRC plus slugging percentage. They are, it does take a dip a little to number 15, but this guy, Zach Lowe for the A's, is just not a very good pitcher. And we talked about this last week when he was going up against the Astros, absolutely smashed them too. So give me the Texas Rangers in this game. I love the team total in this game, both first five innings team total and full game team total for the Texas Rangers.
Noah, Oakland at Texas.
Yeah, I think Munaf did a great job covering every angle pretty much against the Athletics here, and that's exactly where I'm going as well. Dunning, you know, he's Munaf also sent this, but he's just been better at home than on the road this year. He still, I think, qualifies to be a promising prospect. He is a younger pitcher, still relatively new to the league, and there's still a lot of promise in this kid's career. So, I mean, you'd like to see him go out there and have a better performance this time around against the Athletics, and I'm willing to, you know, put my faith and just pick the Rangers. I don't think I'll be betting this one.
Yeah, it was a tricky game to handicap. Texas, I find Texas really hard. They're one of the teams that I always struggle a little bit with. But there's certain spots that Texas can win in. Not necessarily at home, but they don't do very well against the good sides. They've got an awful record against teams with a bigger than 500 record. So at home against the poorer teams is when Texas can open up a little bit. And they should be able to put, they have got some decent bats in that lineup. They should be able to put 5 or 6 up on Logue and the rest of the Oakland pen. Here and yeah, I like Dane Dunning, and I don't think Oakland will do an awful lot of scoring here. So Texas will do enough to cover this on the run line. Yes,
I will say I wasn't on the pod earlier this week, and we don't have a ton of games, so I think we might have a little bit of time to sidetrack here. I think it's very interesting that they went out, the Rangers did, and went out and made some big moves in the offseason. They went out and got Semien and Seager, and they didn't really. They weren't really willing to wait it out. You know, they gave just kind of the front office and people in power a year with like two big names, and it didn't really work. And they just got the boot. I don't know if they were quick to that or not. I don't know if you guys talked about that on the earlier pods, but yeah, I'm a little unweary about that decision.
The only thing I would say about that is, and I don't watch that much Texas. The time zone doesn't really fit. So I don't see as much of them as I see of other teams. So if whether it's the bare numbers, that one-run game stat is frightening. It's 7-24. Wow. So with a little bit of luck, kind of, I mean, is that luck or is it just that they haven't been good enough? They haven't been well managed. I think that's what the manager was. Yeah, possibly. That's what the manager was on the hook for, I think, was not being able to get them over the line. Because maybe that's in a close game. That's when the manager makes his money.
But like, it's a pick. President of operations too? It's like a little weird.
Yeah, absolutely. And the run differential, I think, is -5. You'd expect them to be a 500 team, which wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but they're not. They're 12 games below 500. So, yeah, there's something being amiss there. But, yeah, it's an awkward one. And I don't, like I say, Texas don't come on my radar enough for me to give a solid answer on that one.
Yeah, and I guess I'll just finish it with, like, you know, they have good, solid pieces in the important positions on this team. Like, on defense, you have, you know, Seager at short, Semien at second. You have Adolis Garcia in center field. Those are three pillars in that team. You have a good young prospect in Sam Huff. I don't know if he's still their top catcher in that farm system. But then they also have Kumar Rocker, Jack Leiter. This team is going to be a good, fun team here in like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I think I saw Kohei Arihara's name, I think.
Yes.
Did he? Yeah.
He hasn't been doing too well in the minors this year, but, I mean, he was a huge Japanese prospect.
Yeah, he really was, and I drafted him in a few places last year, watched him quite closely, then he kind of fell off a cliff. And I'd forgotten all about him until I saw his name in the box score last night, so it'd be interesting to see if he can put anything together down the stretch for Texas. Yeah, but there's definitely something there. It's whether or not they've got the backing to be able to put it all together. Next up is a 2:10 Eastern first pitch between the Houston Astros and the Chicago White Sox, where Luis Garcia, the lefty, draws the start for Houston. And Lucas Giolito goes for the Chicago White Sox. We do have lines on this one too. Houston are -127. The Chicago White Sox are +117. Totlia is set at 8.5. Garcia is 9-8 on the season, has a 4.03 ERA, 99 innings and 123 strikeouts. Giolito 9-6 with a 4.92 ERA, 113 1/3 pitched, 127 strikeouts. Garcia struggling a little bit lately, just giving up runs constantly. 4.43 and 4 in his last four starts. Two of those, Oakland got to him for four runs as well, which is never really a good sign. For the White Sox, though, Giolito is probably going along a little bit worse. 5.76 ERA in his last five starts. He's got a 5.86 home ERA. Although we say Houston never score a load of runs, and the White Sox have been a little bit hit and miss, the over 8.5 appeals on those pitching records. So just with a little bit of above average hitting, we should be able to get to this over 8.5, I reckon. So, yeah, I'll take the over for me. Looks like a fair number. Moonaf, your hometown Houston, can they get a win tomorrow?
Yeah, I agree 100% about the over that you picked here, Malcolm. You know, Lucas Giolito, he's been giving it up as well, right? Ever since he did, you know, return from the, I believe it was the IL. He did have a start earlier this year in Houston against the Astros where he did go five innings, but he got blown up for 8 earned runs in that game. Seven hits, two of which were home runs by the Houston Astros. In over his last three games, like you mentioned, despite having a 3-1 record, his ERA is 5.76. So if you kind of take a look at his last five games, they've scored 10 or more runs in every single one of those games combined. And he has also getting the run support from the White Sox. And like you mentioned, Luis Garcia, he's also giving it up over his past couple starts. Three out of his last four starts, he's given up at least 4 earned runs to the opposition. And it hasn't been against very good offenses either. Like you mentioned, the A's, I mean, they're not a great offense. The Guardians, I think they're kind of middle of the pack. The Red Sox gave him 3. He gave up 4 again to the A's, like you mentioned. So I think this is a game where we do see runs being scored. I agree with what you said about the over 8.5. Depending on what happens tonight in the Astros and the White Sox game, I will wait and see. If the Astros lose the game on Wednesday night, I'll be on them on Thursday to avoid the sweep. But I agree 100% about your over 8.5 in this game.
Noah, are you going to make this a team right?
Yeah, team right on the over. And did you guys share the tweet that I sent in the group like a couple of days ago?
Yeah, we mentioned it.
We talked about it last night, yeah, because it was a surprising stat, mate. Yeah, that was a nice pickup.
Yeah, and I found another one too. Jared Carabas on Twitter tweeted it out. The White Sox, they were a season high 6.5 games back on July 5th. And since then, they're 23-15, the best record in the AL Central over that span. And they're a game out of first place. The last time that they were in first place in this division was April 20th. So just again, I mean, I the last podcast that I was out, or the last podcast that I was on before I was out sick, I pronounced the White Sox dead with Tim Anderson on the aisle for four to 6 weeks, and this team has come back and won every game since. So really, I have no feel on this White Sox team at all, but I'm very happy because I have all of those preseason futures on this White Sox team still there. So team ride on the over, and give me the White Sox.
D-Rock has joined us in the chat. Dylan's asking if I've mentioned the Fantasy League. Well, Dylan, it's immature and childish, and I will not be mentioning the fact that I smashed Noah in the Fantasy League for the second time this season.
10 minutes ago.
I mean, if he's in the chat, shouldn't he just be on the pod too? What are we doing?
What I'm saying to you, Noah, is out of deference. I won't be mentioning it again. The fact that I beat you for the second time this season very comfortably. I will not be mentioning
very
that.
Very comfortably. It was 6-4.
Are you girls done talking about fantasy baseball?
I'm not mentioning it. That's my point, Moonaf. My point is I'm not mentioning it. You're the two talking about it, and Dylan.
I'm not talking about it at all.
I'm just look. Leave Noah alone. It's over. It's finished with. I beat him for a second time, brackets comfortably, and we're going to get on with the rest of the podcast. Okay. The lines that we will be giving out. The place to find them is at WinBet, which is the perfect time, the perfect place. For people who are betting baseball to get across and take the bet $100 to get a $100 free bet offer. Reduced juice as well on baseball games, making it the best place to bet MLB. Plus, the WinBet Casino is always open 24 hours a day when you get a 100% deposit up to $1,000. And also, when they've just released their first quarterback to get the 5 touchdown prop bets too. Loads to choose from. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. T's and C's at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Munaf, last year, didn't Tom Brady throw like 5 touchdowns in the first game?
I think so.
I mean, that would be, I guess, a nice little bet for me, I guess, on that prop.
Yeah, with the Moonaf will fill you in on all of that on the NFL Gambling Podcast, won't you, Moonaf?
He's still on the Propcast too, right?
Yep. You got to listen to the Propcast for the player props.
Good stuff.
Okay, stop interrupting these important sponsors.
Hey, they love the extra discussion. They do.
Oh, do they? Okay, yeah. So, yeah, those win bet, 5 touchdown prop bets. Tom Brady, there's your winner. Odds Trader, you'll probably get some more stats on that market over at Odds Trader because it is an invaluable tool for all us degens. You can compare odds from major sports books. You can compare the different sign-up codes, promos, bonuses, etc. And then you get all the stuff like the player stats, the key game stats, injury reports, projected game weather, as well as play-by-play updates, live scores, and the bet tracker, which is probably the best tool on there. So if you go to oddstrader.com/bluewire, everything you need to stay all over your gambling habits is over there. Odds Trader is the number one site for all of your game day bets. Next up is 2:10 Eastern first pitch. The LA Dodgers and the Milwaukee Brewers continue this series. Left-handed pitcher Andrew Heaney for the LA Dodgers and Corbin Burnes goes for the Brewers. Do we have lines on this one? I think we do. Or we did.
We did. I know
we
that.
Do.
Do you need it?
Yeah, go for it, man. I can't see him. Hang on. That's Eric Lauer. Yeah, sorry, Moon. I've go for it.
I got Dodgers favorite -115 on the money line. Brewers -105 on the money line. Over under set at 8 with Juice Torrency under at -120. Run line -1.5 +175 for the Brewers and +1.5 -205 for the Dodgers.
Okie doke. And Noah, what's your reading of this game?
I mean, this series has been great. The first two games, and then we got third game here on Wednesday. But LA won game 1, 4-0. Brew Crew came back and won game 2. That was the first time they were the Dodgers were underdogs in like 204 games. Do you know that?
That's a good start as well. You're on fire tonight, Noah.
Thank you. You know, when you're out for a week, you get to accumulate all this nonsense in your head that you can't wait to spew on the pod. But game 4 shouldn't really disappoint either, in my opinion. Andrew Heaney, he's 1-0 in 7 starts this year. He has a 1.16 ERA, 42 strikeouts, 10 walks, and 31 innings pitched. He's a 2.43 road ERA. And then for the Brewers, Corbin Burns, he's 8-5, 2.39 ERA, 181 strikeouts, 38 walks, and 143 innings pitched this year at home. He also has a 2.89 home ERA. So both of these guys have sub-3 ERAs in this environment. Based on the game scripts that we've also seen so far in the first two games of this series, 4-0 game one, 4-4 game two that needed extras to hit the over. I love the under here, guys. How about you?
Do you know what I wrote down here? I wanted to hear you boys handicap this game because it was too hard for me. I couldn't get there. I was really struggling with it. So I really wanted to hear this, a little bit of respect for you two fellas, because I wanted to hear what you two had to say. So we've got Noah's handicap. Moon, how can you sway me?
I think that one thing that kind of sticks out for Corbin Burns is that he has not been very good against the Dodgers over the course of his career. And we've talked about, you know, Burns being a guy that's a strikeout pitcher, but he hasn't been able to strike out the Dodgers in the course of his career. I know this goes all the way back to 2018, but, you know, the Dodgers lineup has only gotten better since that point, right? And we look at the numbers for him. He's only 1-1 with a 10.38 ERA in his career and 4 appearances against the Dodgers. Last season, back on October 2nd, he only lasted 2 innings, gave up 3 earned runs to the Dodgers. And, you know, that was pretty much it for him in that game. We're all kind of waiting for Andrew Haney to kind of come back down to earth, because this was a pitcher last season that when he was either with the Angels or the Yankees, we were fading him every single game. And, you know, for whatever reason, I guess, or not whatever reason, but it seems like he's kind of found his form in the off season and on this Dodgers roster. He has a 1.74 ERA over his last 5 games. On the road, 2.38. See if he has faced a Brewers recently in his career. He hasn't, but I feel like this is going to be a game that people see that Corbin Burns is on the mound, the ace, but they maybe haven't really dug into the numbers that he doesn't have success against the LA Dodgers. So I'm gonna go with the Dodgers here. I like the money line here for the Dodgers with Andrew Haney, and I know he's a left-handed pitcher, and I'm looking at the WRC plus numbers for the Milwaukee Brewers against left-handed pitching. They're number 21 over the last 2 weeks, a team batting average of 196, which also ranks number 24, and their slugging percentage is at number 25 against left-handed pitching at 297. So I don't think the offense is going to show up for the Brewers, at least in this game. So give me the Dodgers Dodgers money line here with Andrew Haney on the mound.
Okay, well, I was looking for a bit of help of somebody, and the Rockford Lions have appeared. Like, he's like some sort of ghost handicapper in the chat box. And Dylan's made a line of 6.6. So I will take that. I will also take what Moonaf says about the Milwaukee Bats. I think everyone knows my opinion on that lineup. Although the fact that they scored 5 runs last night actually makes me more confident that they're not going to do it again. So I'll take the under. Dylan, 6.6 is good enough for me. And that's all at 7.5. Just need Heaney. Heaney to go well. I think he can. And Burns can keep the Dodgers' bats in check. So yeah, I'll take the under, Dylan. We'll let you have a vicarious play on that one. Next,
I mean, there's an interesting point here too with the left-handed pitching. If you're looking for like strikeout pops on Andrew Heaney, because they are very prone to striking out against left-handed pitching. They have the 7th most strikeouts against lefties. But I mean, if you look at the other teams ahead of them, they have like 10 more games played against left-handed pitching than the Brewers here, and the Brewers are really like neck and neck with them. So it is honestly like I need to find out a way to calculate this one faster so I could probably put it out there. But yeah, the Brewers are terrible in strikeout rate against left-handed pitching.
Yeah, an interesting stat on the LA Dodgers is that Noah has never beaten me in fantasy baseball in a week where the LA Dodgers have played a game.
Back up again, Moonaf. Like,
It's just a stat. It's an important stat that the people need. Just Moonaf shaking his head, look at him. Oh, shut up, Moonaf. 3:05 Eastern first pitch. The Chicago Cubs and the Baltimore Orioles, where Adrian Sampson will get the start for the Cubs. And we've got a TBD pitcher for Baltimore. I reckon it's Spencer Watkins. Any advance on Spencer Watkins from either of you two gents?
Let me see here. Orioles, Adrian Sampson versus Spencer Watkins. You're right.
Okay, yeah, so we're happy with Spencer Watkins. Yeah, I got some lines as well, actually. WynnBET, believe it, Spencer Watkins as well. So the Cubs are plus 130, Baltimore minus 141, and the total is set at 9. Moon half, lead us off.
Yeah, I'll start with Adrian Sampson here. Last five games, or on the season, he's 0-3 with a 3.88 ERA. Last five games, 0-2 with a 4.44 ERA. On the road, 0-1 with a 4.34 ERA. He did actually face a Cubs team. The Orioles. This was a let me see. I know they faced earlier this year. Yeah, this was back on July 12th. He went 5 1/3 innings in that game, gave up 3 earned runs, 2 walks, 6 hits in that game, only had 3 strikeouts. But you know, he just hasn't been pitching very well. I mean, I read off the numbers there for Adrian Sampson, and on the road it's what's kind of really sticking out for me, where his ERA does go up by about half a run compared to his overall ERA. On the other side, Spencer Watkins, he's 4-2 on the season with a 4.23 ERA. Last five games, 2-1 with a 4.38. He's not very good at Camden Yards either. 1-1 with a 4.81 ERA. So I see why this number or the total is at least at 9 in this game. He does have success actually pitching at night for the Orioles, where he is 3-1 with a 3.72 ERA. There's nothing that can really differentiate between these two pitchers, at least. I think that, you know, the Baltimore Orioles, at least trying to fight for a playoff spot, they're still being competitive, even when they did trade, you know, Trey Mancini and Jorge Lopez. But I like the Orioles in this game. They've been a wagon at home this season, especially on the run line. I just don't think that the Cubs are going to be getting up for this game, especially, you know, they did have a game. I believe they are playing on Wednesday afternoon here. But give me the Orioles in this game. I like them at home here. I would entertain the run line as well. They've just been that good against the run line at home.
Yeah, fair enough. Can't argue with that, Moonaf, at all. Noah, the Orioles at all?
Yeah, I'm going there as well. Really, the Cubs just aren't a good enough team for me to fade that trend. And, I mean, since Moonaf mentioned that they are playing technically today, Wednesday, it is a little bit of a travel spot for both teams. It's nothing really, though. Cubs come from Washington, so they're staying in the DMV area. Nothing really there. And then Baltimore is in Toronto right now, so a little bit south, but nothing too serious. So I'm just going to take the Orioles at home.
Yeah, team ride, second one of the day. Baltimore, the offense has just dried up ever so slightly, which was kind of inevitable. They had that real hot streak, and as fun as it was to see, the names in that lineup weren't going to sustain that forever. But they're still going to be more than competitive. The Cubs have been a little bit better lately. Two very middle-of-the-road teams here. So the home advantage, and I like the way a lot of these Baltimore pitchers have been going, but particularly Spencer Watkins. So, yeah, Baltimore on the money line for me. I did quite like the first five under as well, because Samson's been going okay. And like I say, neither lineup is really stellar. So this could be a slow burner, which Baltimore get done eventually. So yeah, first five under all Baltimore. Next is a 3:45 Eastern first pitch between the Arizona Diamondbacks and the San Francisco Giants. Potentially the pitching matchup of the day here. Zach Gallen goes for Arizona, and Logan Webb draws the start for San Francisco. Lines for this one are out. The D-backs plus 134, the Giants minus 145. Total here is set at 7.5. I started handicapping this earlier on, and I was just surprised at how good these two pitchers' numbers were. I knew they'd both been going along really well, but like I said, these West Coast teams don't tend to get on my radar as much as the East Coast ones. Gallen is 8-2 with a 2.94 ERA. Has pitched 125 1/3 with 120 strikeouts. Logan Webb is 11-5 on the season, has a dead 3 ERA, 150 innings pitched and 124 strikeouts. And Gallen's been absolutely stellar lately. He's got a 4-0 record in his last five starts with an ERA of 1.14 in that time. His road ERA is a shade under 3. He's got a 2.31 ERA against the San Francisco Giants. Just ticking boxes towards a decent start and an under. Logan Webb, exactly the same. 2.71 home ERA, 2.92 versus Arizona. Everything you looked at in this game, it's a pitcher's park. Arizona don't score many games. This was just an exercise in ticking boxes that pointed towards the under 7.5 for me. I couldn't get away from it. Noah, any difference of opinion?
No, right there with you. Logan Wood is one of my favorite pitchers in the game. I've said that a couple times on this podcast. And you're not the only one that's sleeping on Gallen. The books are sleeping on both Gallen and Merrill Kelly for this D-back squad. Strikeout props for me, I locked up Merrill Kelly last night as well, which I had a double play in that game too. I had Merrill Kelly over 4.5 strikeouts. He had 7. And then I had them winning outright, and the Giants hit that walk-off bomb to center field by Brandon Crawford. So that one was a little bit of a knife in the heart, and then a little bit of a twist too, because it was 2 outs and almost counting my chickens there before it hatched. But still, both of them cash cows. Zach Gallen, he's had at least 5 strikeouts in, I believe it's 8 starts in a row now. So it's like they keep throwing these things at 4.5, 5.5, and his last 2 starts, 6 strikeouts, 8 strikeouts. Gallen is one of my favorite K props to take. And right now, nothing's stopping it unless they raise that number. So he's going very well. Gonna be taking the D-backs, starting pitchers, K's in this one, and the under with you as well, Malcolm.
Every time I look at the telly, the Seattle Mariners have hit another home run. It's just someone else trotting around the bases every time I glance up. Moonaf, what did you get for the D-backs at the Giants?
Yeah, nothing much more for me to add. I mean, you guys covered pretty much all the bases here. You know, if Zach Gallen's, again, strikeouts comes out at 4.5, got to be all over that, right? So I argue about the under at 7.5. This looks like it's trending towards 7 here. So if you are watching live, I would probably lock up that 7.5 right now if it's available at your book.
Okie doke. Let's get to a couple of our sponsors here before we crack on. Only 11 games today. Run your pool. The home of competition, which brings sports fans and their social circles together to compete, connect, and make every game matter more. Run Your Pool. I love Run Your Pool. We had the golf one and done on there. I was very much done in that. I was terrible. Moonaf wasn't much better. In fact, he might have been worse. I think Tommy Lathrop won, so that was fun. Run Your Pool offers every game type under the sun. Pick 'em, survivors, fantasy pools. It's a one-stop shop for sports gaming with customizable features you don't get anywhere else. We have teamed up with Run Your Pool to host the official SGPN NFL Survivor Contest. So if you can hop in now, you can reserve your spot. $500 in prize money plus a $250 gift certificate to the SGPN merch store. So well worth a little free entry there. Sign up today at play.runyourpool.com/SGPN. That's play.runyourpool.com/SGPN. Sleeper, the fastest growing fantasy platform today. I assume you use it. I was on Sleeper in the car today. I was writing down players that I need to draft on Sunday. I had nothing to write them down on, so I've got a fuel receipt somewhere. I've got a gas receipt with the running backs and tight ends scrawled all over the back of it. So I'm going to have to transfer that to somewhere better. But Sleeper is the place that I was doing all my homework on there. But they've added the over or under game where you can make a few extra quid. Pick your players, pick your props, choose your stake, and you can win 2 to 20 times the money that you put in. NFL season right around the corner. Sleeper is the first sports contest game built into the fantasy experience. If you go to sleeper.com/SGP, you can join our listener group and they will match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. You'll get a $100 match on your first deposit. T's and C's apply. Go to sleeper.com/SGP. Sleeper's terms of use for details. Next is 7:05 Eastern. First pitch, the Boston Red Sox and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Nathan Eovaldi draws the start for Boston. Pittsburgh officially TBD. I've got Bryce Wilson going, but I'm not sure that's confirmed even a little bit. I've got no lines for this one at all. Noah, we'll chuck this across to you being in Pittsburgh. A, is it Bryce Wilson? B, have you seen any lines and see if you've got a little handicap for it.
I have nothing to confirm when it comes to Pittsburgh pitching right now, because today they brought up Ronzi Contreras. So they may be going with like a six-man rotation kind of thing. Typically, I mean, today was supposed to be Bryce Wilson's day from what I understand. Tomorrow for this game would be JT Brubaker. Now, he kind of is the staff ace. I don't know if they would skip Bryce. Hopefully they do, because he's just kind of one of those auto-fade arms in their staff for me. But if Brubaker comes in and starts, it's interesting. If Wilson starts, I'm going with Boston here. Boston, they're 4-1 in the last five. Pittsburgh's 2-8 in their last 10. I mean, like I said, there's no confirmed pitcher for Pittsburgh, but for Boston, Nathan Eovaldi, he's got a 5-3 record this year, 4.15 ERA, 96 strikeouts, 18 walks in 99.2 innings pitched. He pitches way better away from Boston, away from Fenway. He has a 2.67 road ERA. So just by the fact that, I mean, these two Pittsburgh pitchers that we're considering are polar opposites, I don't really feel comfortable going deeper into analysis. So as of right now, just the tip of the iceberg is Boston if Wilson pitches. Look into it more if Brubaker's on the mound.
Yeah, we handicapped Brubaker last night for today's games. And like you say, Rowens and Contreras has come up. So it stands to reason that Brubaker would go tomorrow instead, but yeah, remains to be seen. So nothing from me on this one. Moonaf, anything?
I'm seeing Brubaker going as well for the Pirates tomorrow, but it's funny that Noah says that he's the ace, but he's 2-10 on the season with a 4.45 ERA.
It's just wild.
Yeah, and you know, he hasn't been very good over his last five games either, 0-2. I mean, I don't want to give out information about Brubaker, but even if it's Brubaker or Wilson, I don't care who it is, I'm going to take the Red Sox here. And it's not because, you know, I'm a fan of the team. It's exactly what Noah said, is that Nathan Eovaldi is just a better pitcher away from Fenway Park. And I think that's been the case for a lot of these Red Sox pitchers this season, that they're just doing really well, you know, out of Fenway Park on the road. 4-0, 2.64 ERA. He had a good start against the Yankees in his last start, which was actually in Fenway Park. But I feel like, you know, maybe he's found some form here. I think that, you know, he's going to be able to carry a victory here for the Red Sox. So regardless of who's pitching for the Pirates, I'll be on the Red Sox money line and possibly run line as well.
Yeah, this was the little run of games where we didn't have many odds, this little run towards the end of the card. And that same thing applies to the next game, which is a 7:05 Eastern first pitch between the Toronto Blue Jays and the New York Yankees. Jose Berrios is confirmed starter for the Toronto Blue Jays, but the Yankees are TBD. I think it's Frankie Montas, but we can throw this across to Moonaf, who can confirm or deny. No odds on this one, Moonaf. Have you got much else to tell us?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm seeing, the pitching matchup here tomorrow between Jose Berrios and Frankie Montas. Anytime I see Berrios on the road, I am going to be fading him. And I know the Yankees offense has not been doing very well over the course of the past couple of weeks here, especially without Stan in the lineup. But if you kind of just take a look at the home road splits, Jose Berrios 6-1 at home with the ERA still above 4.1. But on the road so far this year, 2-4 with a 7.50 ERA. Hasn't been very good in the month of August. He's given up 13 earned runs and 7 2/3 innings pitched. Post All-Star break, he's been absolutely atrocious with an ERA of 7.52. Within the division, he hasn't been very good either, or he's been pretty decent. He's 2-1 with a 4.08 ERA. But, and again, you're going into Yankee Stadium where it's a hitter's ballpark. This season against the Yankees, Jose Berrios 0-1 with a 6.97 ERA. So the Yankees offense has been able to get to him early and often. Frankie Montas, I'll go ahead and handicap that because I think that is what's going to be the pitching matchup here. He's 4-9 on the season with a 3.59 ERA. Hasn't been very good over the two starts for the or he had a good start against the Red Sox in his last start for the Yankees, but that first start he had against St. Louis in St. Louis just wasn't very good for him. So I think that this might be a game where the Yankees offense may, you know, find themselves. And I want to take a look at how the Blue Jays have done against left-handed pitching over the last 2 weeks. And they are, let's see, where is Toronto? They're number 23 in WRC plus over the last 2 weeks. Team batting average against left-handed pitching is also at number 25. So I'm going to go ahead and give the Yankees the advantage in this game. I'll take the Yankees, and I like the Yankees run line. The team total for the first five and the full game as well.
Noah, Blue Jays at Yankees.
Yeah, I'm with everything that Munaf said, and here's my angle here too. This morning really pissed me off because, I mean, ESPN doesn't give a damn about baseball in general. Like, barely talk about it. First take this morning, I don't know if you all saw the fool Stephen A. Smith go on camera and call out Aaron Judge, who has 46 home runs this year. He said that he's 1 for 14 his last 14 at-bats. The dude is honestly like willed this team to much more than any one game or one stretch could speak for. And I know we took a little bit of heat for putting the Yankees at four, but that's just because of the talent that's still on that roster. And this little slump is going to be over very soon. And when you get some national clown on ESPN First Take to go out there and blast you like that, that's perfect. Just put it on the bulletin board in there. You get Berrios on the mound. That's the perfect, like, little, I mean, shot in the arm for adrenaline with Berrios to go up there and throw you a couple of cupcakes. And, I mean, with this Yankees roster, I feel like I got it on team total with Munaf as well. I mean, the dude barely talks baseball, and he claims that he was a Yankees fan born in Bronx. I know what I'm fucking talking about. No, you don't, dude. Sit down. If you want to talk about it every day. Instead, just go eat up LeBron James signing a 2-year extension because it's been on the ESPN bottom line for the last 4 hours. So that's what I got to say. The Yankees are going to bounce back. It's inevitable now.
Okay, so someone put a pound in Noah. I don't know who that bloke is, but I know enough that when I see a tweet with a little video from him, that I know it's almost certainly bollocks and that everyone's getting on his back. I've learned that over the few years that I've started following I consume different media, but I know when I see that face, not to take it particularly seriously. I can't come down on a side here because I've been getting the Yankees wrong. So I just need to leave them alone a little bit. Well, this has got the look of a little bit of a wild one about it. So I'd be looking to taking over. We could do with some Rockford lines on this one. I don't know. What total would you put on this?
I think it'll probably have to be 8.5. I would not be surprised if I do see a 9, but I mean, especially with these two pitchers. I think I would open at 8.5.
Yeah, I think that's plenty good enough for me. Yeah, I've got the Blue Jays can hit Montas and the Yankees can hit Berrios. It's pretty straightforward. So that's more than enough info for me to take the over if that comes out round about 8.5 or 9. Next up, 7:10 Eastern first pitch, the Kansas City Royals at the Tampa Bay Rays. Another TBD pitcher, unfortunately, with no odds attached. We have Brad Keller going for Kansas City. Tampa Bay, I got Shane McClanahan going. Don't know what you boys have got.
Yep.
Moonap, that's a little nod of approval. So yes, we've got no lines, but I can give you the handicap for it. Keller is 6-13, has pitched 122 and a third with 83 strikeouts. McClanahan is 11-5, 134 and one third with 164 strikeouts. Keller is way out of form. 8.76 ERA over his last five starts. 5.40 road ERA on the season. McClanahan has actually struggled a little bit lately. 5.47 ERA in his last five starts. I think McClanahan can bounce back here. McClanahan, those strikeout figures caught my eyes. 165 strikeouts and 134 starts, but hasn't struck out very many batters. I think it's something like 3-4-4 in his last three starts. It's got to be a bounce back, a home game against a poor side like Kansas City. So I'll be looking at McClanahan's strikeouts. Maybe Noah can tell me a bit more about that. He's the strikeout king here. Casey are terrible on the road, 19-36. Tampa Bay will have a little bit of momentum after a good series they've had in New York. So I'll take Tampa Bay behind their stud pitcher to win this on the run line when we do see some odds. Noah, the McClanahan strikeout prop, anything that would interest you?
Actually, no. I don't really like the form that he's in. And personally, I think that they're just going to slow him down. So I'm being cautious with McClanahan. Plus, he's on my fantasy team too. So like, I want him to do well. But I've been trying to sell him, and now the deadline has passed. So I'm just nervous that, I mean, they're going to just ramp him down a little bit because he's still basically a second-year rookie. The big thing here, though, is that this Royals lineup is feisty. I've still been backing them lately. They've been cashing more than they've lost for me as well. And they play much better against left-handed pitching. They have a 722 OPS, which is better than half the league. And McClanahan, against bad teams lately, has not excelled. So I'm just going to stay with – I mean, if it's not broken, don't fix it. So I'm going with the Royals here.
Yeah, fair enough. That's a reasonable assessment of how McClanahan's been going. I fancy him to fight back, but you think he'll continue in that direction. Moonaf, any strong feelings on this?
Yeah, the Royals surprisingly have been doing really well against left-handed pitching. They're actually number four in WRC Plus for the last 2 weeks in the entire league. Team batting average is also number three in the entire league against left-handed pitching at .296. Slugging is down, but when you're getting on base and hitting for average, you're going to be able to score some runs. So I think there may be some value here on the Royals. If this comes out as a big number, I'm thinking that they are going to be a north of a $2 favorite with McClanahan on the mound, especially at home. There might be some value in that plus 1.5 for the Royals in this game. So I'm going to go with the Royals plus 1.5 and put a little bit on that money line as well.
Excellent. Two games left to handicap here. The world is on tenterhooks to try and see if I've remembered to scroll back up to the top to get the Mets game in, which I have done. I've done it, everybody. 7:20 Eastern first pitch is the New York Mets at the Atlanta Braves, where Jacob deGrom will go for the New York Mets. And again, we've got differing opinions. I think I handicapped Kyle Wright earlier on. We've officially got TBD, but now we think it might be Max Fried, who was on the 7-day concussion IL. Mm-hmm. So Fried might be the pitcher on that one. As a result, we've got no lines again, unfortunately, for that one. And only one pitcher to handicap. And when that pitcher's Jacob deGrom, there's not an awful lot of handicapping to do on it. Give you his numbers. He's 2-0 with a 1.62 ERA in the 16 2/3 he's pitched since he came back with 28 strikeouts. That's preposterous. Absolutely preposterous. What could he go with this? He faced Atlanta 10 strikeouts in that game. He got 12 strikeouts.
12, yeah.
He's got 10 and 12 in his last two starts. So again, a strikeout prop. When I handicapped Kyle Wright, I had this down as an under. I just got pitch and duel written all over it, as well as the Mets field and the slightly weakened lineup at the moment. They have been hit with a couple of injuries. Brett Beatty will arrive today, Wednesday. But yeah, they trotted out kind of Marrero was batting 8 last night. The new lad Perez batting 9 and catching. So just a slightly weakened lineup for the Mets behind a couple of strong pitchers led me towards the under. But yeah, we don't really know what's going on here. So Moonaf, you're saying Max Fried, aren't you? But I mean, would that change your handicap, or is the under something that this points towards for you?
No, I think if it's either one of those pitchers, whether it's Max Fried or Kyle Wright, like we mentioned, I think that this is going to be a pitcher's duel, like you mentioned. Jacob deGrom has just been, he's just so good. You know, I mean, he doesn't get the run support like he should be getting from the Mets, especially with this lineup. I know he's only pitched in a few games this season, or at least in 3 games since he's kind of returned. But when you mentioned, I think that the one way you probably do want to play, just get on the strikeout props for Jacob deGrom. Yeah. If you're listening live, I would be on the Max Scherzer prop, strikeout prop here tonight at as well at 7.5. So I think this is going to be a game where we see strikeouts. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. That number is probably going to come out at 7. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw 6.5, if it even is Max Fried tomorrow. I like the under, and I'm going to be on the Jacob deGrom strikeout props again.
Noah, you were all over the strikeout props when we were talking about that. So your head was nodding frantically.
Yeah, I mean, the Braves are one of the worst teams when it comes to strikeout rate in the MLB. They're still bottom three. They've been better as of late against the Mets and here in this series of not striking out. But I'm, again, on the Scherzer over. tonight, and I'm going to be on DeGrom's over tomorrow. I think there's no logical reason for the books not to have this thing at like 8.5 or 9.5. And even if it's still there and it's -175, I'm still going to be on it. And it's probably, if it's like a -180, I'll just throw it in another parlay with, who knows, probably even the Mets money line here. Because if Fried is going, coming off of the IL, Mets hit lefties a little bit better. There's no like huge great stat about it. They have a 710 OPS against lefties, which is better than half of the league. But I mean, I think that's a good enough play where you probably get like the Mets money line -145 with DeGrom on the mound, and then DeGrom strikeout prop, same game parlay. That probably a good play there.
Okay, last game here. We do have lines on this one. We can give you a full handicap on a 940 Eastern first pitch between the Washington Nationals and the San Diego Padres. Anibal Sanchez gets the start for Washington in Yu Darvish.
That's all you got to say.
That's a handicap. That's it. Anibal Sanchez. Just,
yeah, wrap up there. That's it.
San Diego plus 16.5 runs. The lines are Washington are plus 319. I reckon that's the biggest price we've seen so far this season. The San Diego Padres are minus 360. So put a dollar on that. Totally, it's 7.5. Now, that's an interesting number for me. Noah, Anibal Sanchez, tell us why he's going to win.
Well, I guess the argument that you can make for Sanchez is that it's a huge travel spot for the Padres, going from Miami to San Diego. But you know what? It's also a huge travel spot for the Nationals, going from Washington to San Diego. So, looking at the pitching matchup, like we said, Anibal Sanchez, I think it's safe to say we can favor San Diego over Washington a little bit more here. Sanchez, 0-5 this year, 7.20 ERA, 22 strikeouts, 14 walks in 30 innings pitched. Last week, they gave up three runs, or last week he gave up three runs in five innings pitched to San Diego. It wasn't a terrible outing, but he does have a 6.30 road ERA, so there's no way to dress that up. And for San Diego, Yu Darvish is going 10-6 this year, 3.40 ERA, 141 strikeouts, 27 walks in 140.1 innings pitched. He is a 2.20 home ERA. So, I mean, I'd be cautious kind of playing a run line here on San Diego just because of this travel spot. But I think my favorite play on this game would be a Nationals team total under. What do you guys think?
Moonaf, crack on.
I'm sorry. Yu Darvish has been, what do you know, we talked about pitchers that are been good at on the road, but Yu Darvish has been a pitcher that's been good at home this season. He is 10-6 with 3.40 ERA, 6-1 at home with a 2.17 ERA. So, and, you know, I think that Noah's onto something here. I want to see how he's done against the Nationals if he has faced them. Maybe not this year, but maybe last year. He did face him earlier this year. That was on the road in Washington. It was a rough outing for him. He gave up 4 earned runs in, 6 innings pitched here. But I think this is a spot where I think that the Padres kind of found their offense in the game on Wednesday afternoon, where they put up 5 runs in that first inning against Pablo Lopez, again, the Marlins. And now you're facing a more easier pitcher like Anibal Sanchez. And, you know, when we talk about Anibal Sanchez, there's one particular player prop that I was on with last week when Anibal Sanchez faced his Padres team. And it was Manny Machado to get a home run. Now I'm going to go right back down to that well. I'm trying to pull up that number here, but if you guys have anything else to add to this game while I pull that up, go ahead.
Yeah, my handicap with this was a huge over. For a start, San Diego could do this by themselves. 7.5 with Anibal Sanchez on the hill. They could. But I don't think Washington will have to contribute very many for this to go over. Might be another way of putting it. Washington have scored 5 runs the last 2 nights. So if they score 2 tomorrow, and like I said, they might not even have to, but if they can put 2 up tomorrow, this goes over 7.5 easy. I love this number. I'm going to take the over on that one. Moonaf, did you find what you were looking for?
Yeah, so Manny Machado against Anibal Sanchez in his career, 19 plate appearances. He has 9 hits in those 19 at-bats. 5 of those 9 hits have gone over the wall for Manny Machado. He's batting 474 against Anibal Sanchez, slugging at 13-16 against Anibal Sanchez. So there's going to be another player prop or home run prop I'm going to be on tomorrow. Too bad it's not on Monday, but it'd probably be short odds because it was last week at plus 255.
I'll add to the discussion here and make it a little bit more fun, kind of tie in the Little League World Series as well. Alex Rodriguez, it starts off here, but then we're going to get good here. Alex Rodriguez said that Fernando Tatis' suspension is going to cost him the Hall of Fame. I think it's kind of interesting that, I mean, it was A-Rod that said it. But, I mean, there was a quote that was from that, like, K-Rod show, A-Rod and K-Rod, Sunday Night Baseball, that just said he wished, like, young players would learn from his stupidity and stuff like that. But today, during the Little League World Series, there was a kid. I mean, these kids are 12. He walks up to the plate, and they show, like, the little stats and, like, their favorite baseball player, favorite food, and, like, favorite hobby. The dude's favorite baseball player was Barry Bonds. So, I mean, he's 12 years old. Bonds retired 15 years ago. And I guess my only question is, like, how many kids are we going to see this week? This thing's 11 days long. How many kids are going to say that Tatis is their favorite baseball player?
I think set the over under at half.
You think so? You think they're completely wiped out from?
Yeah, I think his dad's done a good job there. He's obviously well versed. I'll tell you what it is though with the kids, because obviously Bob here, he's a footballer, a soccer player and watcher, but because he plays FIFA all the time on his Xbox with his mates, they'll use legendary players. So if he comes through, and I've got this, there might be an old game on it. Might be a game from 1992 or something. It could be Zinedine Zidane for France, and he'll know who everybody is. He'll say, Thierry Henry, Zinedine Zidane, so Kevin Keegan player. So they do know who these older players are. So if he's playing MLB The Show and he's hitting dingers with Barry Bonds, that'll get him on. So it's one of those things.
I'll expose myself here a little bit. I play MLB The Show. Bonds actually is not in the game. So. I mean, I understand your argument there, but they don't put him in the game. So him or A-Rod aren't really like legends. But I mean, that game's pretty cool. But I guess where I was digressing is I wrote a Little League World Series article, also touching on the Little League Classic that'll be on Sunday. Just like hit the tip of the iceberg of betting predictions and handicaps in that article. But I mean, tonight, which is Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, Hawaii's playing. This team is legit. And if Jaron Lancaster's throwing, oh my God, this kid, he's like one of the most, he's DeGrom and a 12 year old. And I'm not lying. Like, I'm just saying, like, these kids are on TV and it's like nice and they get all the great equipment and all that stuff, but this kid truly is like a little bit of a standout compared to the rest of them. He's a good hitter and good pitcher. He struck out 12 of the 13 batters he faced in their regional game. So right. The kid's legit.
The same thing I'm looking at.
Are you about another Angels home run?
They're about to break the screen in right field.
Yeah, they are. They're going to have to repair that tomorrow. It's been absolutely peppered over the last hour. Baseball smashing off it every 90 seconds. I need to watch a little bit of the Little League World Series, see if I can find a station that carries it. But I've enjoyed you tweeting out some stuff. I think the kid for Curacao today had a stellar outing, didn't he?
He did.
Diving catches, strikeouts. I think he had an RBI as well, so... I can't remember. He had a great name. I can't remember what it was, but he had a great name.
It's Davey J. It was like Davey Jones Locker, but it's not Davey Jones.
Davey Locker. Jones Locker for Curious. Something.
But I mean, there's a team from Europe, and they combine Europe and Africa. They had the lowest odds.
So oh yeah,
Malcolm, way to represent.
Thank you very much. It's another fat old man World Series because I could represent Great Britain in that. No problem.
I'm sure there's an adult softball league World Series.
I'm playing softball, mate. I'm the real deal, mate.
Davey J. Rijka.
Davey J. Rijka. There you go. Name to watch. Right. Lock and dog picks to come. Once I've told you about Firstly Trade Coffee, a company that will connect customers to the freshest and best tasting coffee they've ever made by partnering them with the country's best craft roasters. You'll get expert tasted coffee. They keep over 450 different types on hand, live and ready to ship every day. And you'll get a first match guarantee. I'm confident that they'll match you right first time. If you don't like it, they'll take it back, and a coffee expert will work with you to get your brand new bag. You need to start by taking the quiz, which is at drinktrade.com/SGP. The quiz over there will help a coffee expert match you with the perfect coffee for you, and you can get a bag of freshly roasted coffee as whole beans or ground, however you brew it at home. Trade has delivered over 5 million bags of coffee with more than 750,000 positive reviews. Trade are offering new subscribers a total of $30 off the first order plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/SGP. That's over 40 cups of coffee for free. Take the quiz at drinktrade.com/SGP. Let Trade find you a coffee. drinktrade.com/SGP for $30 off. And finally, Dave, the banking app that can help you out with a little bit of a scrape. If you need some extra money for the end of the month, whether it's some bills to pay or you've got a gift to buy or you've got to put some gas in the car, that kind of thing. Dave is the banking app that can help you by helping you out with $500 instantly with extra cash. So more money to fill your tank or catch up on the bills. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account. Get up to $500 instantly. T's and C's are at dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve. It's a member of the FDIC. Okay, decent effort, boys. 11 games handicapped. Few of them still off the board, but we've got locks and dogs. Noah, we'll head back to you, and you can get us started.
Yeah, I have a plethora of unders that I like, and I'm not sure which one's going to be my favorite. But I'll give out the Arizona-San Francisco under 7.5 as my lock. I love both these guys on the mound, both Logan Webb and Zach Allen. So, I mean, just by the way that this series has gone, I love the under here at 7.5. And then my dog is going to be the white hot White Sox of Chicago. So, I've kind of not really had a great feel of the White Sox, so you never know. This might not be able to a great pick because Giolito has not been going well lately, but neither has Luis Garcia, and I'm going to take the better lineup right now in the White Sox over the Astros.
We did mention the White Sox last night, though, that I think maybe we had got them not wrong, but the way we talked about them had been quite disparaging, and actually they hadn't been putting together a terrible run in that time. It was just maybe a lot of the things, or a lot of the social media and stuff was making it look like they were playing a lot worse than they were, sort of the TLR factor and stuff. So, yeah, I don't think you're alone in underestimating what the White Sox had done. So, yeah, perfectly valid play there. Moonaf, what have you got for us? Sorry.
With the TLR stuff, the video of telling him to go pinch run Adam Engel, that's priceless. That's
yeah, and then you look at the actual stats, and it hadn't been that bad. So, Moonaf, lock and dog.
For my lock, I'm going to go with the Rangers and the A's first five innings over 4.5 right now. Actually, that number is actually down to 4. I don't know why that number is dropping, but hey, even better. So give me the A's and Rangers first five over 4 as my lock. For my dog, I was really struggling to find one here, especially with only 6 games or 7 games to pick from. Let me see. I was going to do Cardinals run line, but that's already at a minus price already.
I mean, they are dropping the lines as we speak, and they're moving rapidly. So
I'll go ahead and give out the Dodgers run line, -1.5 +145 tomorrow as my dog. But that may change. So just, you know, make sure to check the graphic that we do put out. But as for the show right now, -1.5 +145 for the Dodgers as my dog.
Do you think the books are waiting until after we broadcast this live now to publish the lines? Would that be a valid play? Because then we're going to smash them.
We are like top 30 Apple. We might have some weight to our words.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense to me. I'm going to go to that Houston White Sox game for my luck. I'm going to take the over. I just think we can get to nine here. Both pitchers can contribute, both lineups can contribute, and we can get over 8.5. So that is going to be my lock. My dog, I like quite a lot of the unders that you like as well. I'll take a run line. I'm going to go to the game that Moonaf's played as well. I'll take Texas on the run line. Auckland aren't going to score many runs, unfortunately, and Logue's going to give up at least 5 or 6. So yeah, I can see Texas getting away with this one, something like 72. So give me Texas on the run line in that one. And that, boys and girls, will conclude this evening's shenanigans. Thank you very much, Noah. What's happening the rest of the night?
The rest of the night, just enjoying some Little League World Series, and I'm very intently watching this Hawaii game. I think these kids are a bunch of studs. They were there last year. They lost to the Michigan team that ended up winning it last year. But a lot of these kids return, and it's kind of like an experience factor, one. And two, they just look like mature 12-year-olds, which is insane to think about. but breaking news, Clay Holmes is being put on the IL. So new Yankees closer, who's it going to be?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I might dip into the waiver wire, though, and have a look. Who is it going to be?
It might be Wandy Peralta, Aroldis Chapman, Loizaga. Maybe
I think probably Loizaga. I would think so.
Loizaga was a guy that they wanted last year. So, Efros would be interesting if you acquired
Efros. Efros is a good shout, actually. Yeah. Efros got saves, I think, this season. I don't know if he's picked up a couple of soft ones or not, but yeah. Moonaf, for you, are you NFL gambling podcasting the rest of the night?
No, not tonight. I know we're dropping an NBA pod tomorrow. I know the season's around the corner. Talk about some win totals. So ramping NBA back up as well. So wow. And then me and Dan are recording NFL pod for another division preview on Friday. So yeah, more pods and more content coming out on the network. So definitely look out for it.
Excellent. Well, I've got a cheese scone. I'm going to eat that and then go to bed. Thanks, everyone, for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure. Cheers, everyone who piped up in the chat box as well. Very much appreciated. Thank you, Noah. Thank you, Moonaf. Good luck with all your bets, and we will see you down the road. Cheers.